I just wanted to share a simple observation that I thought of while learning the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Aled, Amid Aleph. So the Gemara in Shabbos over here is in the middle of Perek Rablezer Demila, and sometimes the Gemara goes off on tangents, especially Masechta Shabbos, goes off on certain tangents where they're discussing various refuos that people used to use back in the day. And on Shabbos, that's very nogea because there is an Isser de Rabbanon of refuah, which is a gzera atu shchikas samimanim, that we don't want someone to violate an av malacha of tochein by grinding up herbs and spices to create various medicines. And therefore, things that are overtly designed for healing, as long as a person is not on the level of a chole she'ein bo sakana, which means he's not actually what we would call nowadays sick, he's just not feeling well, so then he's not supposed to take medicines on Shabbos. Now, in those days, they didn't have medicines the way we do, so they used to use various combinations of foods and herbs and things like that. So there is a machlokis tanoim, whether or not one is allowed to mix certain ingredients, specifically in this case, yayin and shemen, is one allowed to mix wine and oil together in order to make some sort of a concoction which will help them with their digestive difficulties. So the Gemara quotes a brisa, and it says specifically, ein torfin yayin v'shemen l'chola b'shabbos. A person is not allowed to vigorously mix the oil and the wine together, or blend them, if you will. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mishim Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Elazar quotes Rabbi Meir, af torfin. He says, no, you're allowed to not only mix them together, but you could even blend them together with some vigorous stirring. So that is the shita of Rabbi Meir. Then Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, yeah, but I have a story about this actually happening. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, pam achas chash Rabbi Meir b'meyav. One time Rabbi Meir had this illness. He was not feeling well. He had this digestive or this stomach ailment. Ubikashnu litrovlo yayin v'shemen. And we wanted to create this concoction for him by stirring the wine and the oil together. V'lo hinachnu. He did not allow us to do it. Amarnu lo. So we said to him, dvarecha, yibatlu b'chayecha. He says, Rabbi, you hold it's mutter to do this. If you don't even do it for yourself, then nobody's going to hold like you. Your own words are going to be canceled during your lifetime, because if Rabbi Meir doesn't even hold like himself, then how is it shayach for anybody else to hold like Rabbi Meir? So it says Amar Lanus, or Meir said back, Afal pi shani omer kach v'chaverei omer kach. Even though I hold that it's mutter, and my chaverim and all the chachamim hold that it's aser, miyomai lo malani libi lavor al divrei chaverei. So he says that I never in my life had the hava mina. I never, lo milani libi, I never once thought in my heart, it never filled my heart to violate the words of my chaverim. So that's an unbelievable thing. The Gemara concludes over there that hu niu demachmer anafshe avol lekulei al mashari. He held it was mutter for everybody else, but he was just being machmer for himself. All right, that's in terms of what the halach is. But the statement of Rabbi Meir is that not only do I not paskin like myself, halacha lemaisa, for myself, it never even occurred to me to violate the words of the other chachamim. Now, that is an incredibly humble and special thing to say. But nevertheless, I think if you just add in a little bit of background, you can really appreciate the full effect of this statement of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is most famously known as Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes. Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes is specifically due to a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, going over to Yud Ches Amud Beis, and I'll read you a little bit from that Gemara. So basically, there was, I don't want to read the whole thing because we only have a couple of minutes, but there was a situation after the Churban and after the revolution fell that the Jews were really being persecuted heavily by the Romans. Rabbi Meir, as you know, from the Gemara in Yevamos, was one of the five new Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva was killed by the Romans. It was not a good time for the Jews in any way, shape, or form. And Rabbi Meir got word that after this whole downfall of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, his sister-in-law, his wife, Bruria, who was the great scholar herself and the daughter of the great Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, who also, why can't I remember his name? It's early, right away in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. He was Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyon, thank you. Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyon, He was killed by the Romans as well. We're going to read about both of them shortly on Tisha B'Av as two of the 10 Haruge Malchus. So the other daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon was taken to a house of ill repute, and she was being held there as a captive to do all kinds of averus. And Rabbi Meir took it upon himself to get her out. So he comes to the guard. Azal gabe shomer dida. He comes to the guard. Amar le havanela. Give her to me. Meaning, let me take her and take her away from all of this. Amar le mistafina mimalchusa. He says, yeah, I would do it, but I'm afraid of the government. Amar le shkol tarkava de dinara. Says, take this big bunch of money. Palga palach, palga lehavilach. It's a little bit of machlokas Rashi Tosas here. What does he mean? But basically saying you can keep half of it and use the other half to bribe whoever is going to bother you about it. So I'm alev, chishalmi mayavid. Yeah, but what am I going to do when I run out of money? Meaning I'm going to not have any money left to bribe them. Then what should I do? So ema elaka demeir aneni umitzalata. Right, matzalta. You should say the God of Meir should answer me, and you will be saved. Amalei. So the official says back, "Mi yemar dehachi ika," right? So he's saying, "Does this really work?" Right? So he say, "I'm sorry." He was saying, "Does this really work?" So Amalei. So Meir says, "Yeah, hashtachazis. You'll see right now." Havuhanu kalve dehavika achle inshi. There were these wild dogs that were biting people. Shakal kala. So Reb Meir took a clump of dirt, shadabu, he threw it at them, and to rile them up. Vahavu ka'asi lemichle ochlo, they were coming to bite him and eat him. Amar elakad de Meir aneini. So Meir said, "The God save me," and he was saved. So okay, and that's what happened, and eventually it went on. And I don't want to get to the end of the story because there's a wild Rashi over there. If you're interested in trying to understand this really wild story that Rashi quotes on Yilchesem Beis and Avodah Zarah, I don't. It's a whole to do about the background of that Rashi and where it even comes from. But Lamaisa, eventually Rabbi Meir, he saved his sister-in-law, and they had to flee from Eretz Yisrael. So that's the famous Nes that Rabbi Meir got his nickname, Rabbi Meir Bal HaNes. And obviously, you have to be an individual on a certain level to be able to say with great confidence that if you just daven Takodesh Baruch Hu using my name, you're going to be saved. But I don't think that Gemara is the Gemara that really shows us the greatness of Rabbi Meir. That is certainly a Gemara that is a story about Rabbi Meir, and obviously, in order for that story to be told about such an individual, you have to be a tremendously great individual. But perhaps there is a story, or at least a Gemara that tells us much more so about the greatness of Rabbi Meir, and that is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. So the Gemara starts off, Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Goli V'yadul Ifnei Misha Amar V'haya Ha'olam She'in B'doro Shar Rabbi Meir Kamos. It is known in front of the one who spoke and created the world, meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam, that there was no one in Rabbi Meir's generation who was like him. So the problem is we never paskin like Rabbi Meir. So why not? If he was the greatest, he should probably paskin like the Gadol Ador. The Gemara answers, Shelo Yachul Chaverov Lamod Al Sof Daito, because he was so brilliant, his Chaverim, his fellow Chachamim, could not really get to what he was getting at, logically speaking. They couldn't understand the depth of his particular svara. Why? Shehu Omer Al Tamei Tahor Omer Al Panim Al Tahor Tamei Omer Al Panim. He would be able to argue that something which was Tameh is really Tahor, and he would give rayas for that, and he would be able to say about something which is Tahor that it's really Tameh, and he would be able to show logic and rayas for that. So this is really, it was impossible. You didn't know when he was right and when he was wrong, because you couldn't understand him either way. He could argue his way out of anything. And therefore, because of his insane level of brilliance, the other Chachamim, who clearly were also quite, quite ingenious, they still couldn't be koveya the halacha like Rabbi Meir, because they couldn't trust when he was actually right and when he was actually wrong due to his intense level of brilliance. And the Gemara continues, Tana, lo Rabbi Meir shmo, ela Rabbi Nehorai shmo. Right, Rabbi Meir was not his real name. His real name was Nehorai, and that this is also Aramaic for Meir, the enlightener, is Nehorai, which is just the same thing. Nehora is or in Aramaic. V'lama nikra shmo Rabbi Meir, shu Meir eni chacham in bahalacha. right? So he was below Nehoraishma, and then the Gemara goes on. This is difficult to understand in light of a different Gemara in Shabbos, which we're not going to get into now, but a little bit later, way at the end of the Masechta. So he says, Lo Nehoraishma, Elo Rabbi Nechemya Shmo, V'amri Lo Rabbi Elazar ben Arach Shmo. Some say his name was really Rabbi Nechemya, and some say it was really Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, it's a little difficult to put that historically together with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, because Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was one of the five great Talmidim of of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which wouldn't make him, which doesn't preclude being a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. He could have first learned by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, then learned by Rabbi Akiva, but it makes it a little bit difficult. And there's also a different story there's a different story in the Gemara and Shabbos about Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, that he went to a place where he thought everybody should follow him because he was the Gadol HaDor, and nobody came with him, and then he lost all his learning, and his Chavirim davened for him that he should get his learning back, and that's why they called him Rabbi Nehorai after that. Either way, Rabbi Meir was clearly head and shoulders above the fray. So let me just skip one tiny bit here. So I'm a Rebbe, so Rabbi Yehuda Anasi made the following comment. That which I am sharper from my friends, meaning that which I have been zoche to rise to the top, and obviously Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the Gadol HaDor, you know, head and shoulders above the crowd, the chazisei l'Rabbi Meir me'achore, that I was able to see Rabbi Meir from behind. V'ilu chazisei mekamei hava mechadadna tfei. D'chsiv ha'yoinecha ros es morecha. Right? So, and if I would have seen him from the front, I would have been even greater, as the Pasuk says, your eyes should see your teacher. Okay, so this is the Gemara, to me, that really drives home this point about Rabbi Meir. Because what does it describe about Rabbi Meir? His brilliance was such that it was so much head and shoulders above the crowd that we couldn't even paskin like him. Now, that is something which, you know, you could say he was a once-in-a-generation level of intellect. He was a once-in-a-generation level of genius that even, I mean, if you look at the colleagues of Rabbi Meir, who were talking about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he's telling me that there was somebody in the world where Shimon bar Yochai couldn't understand, right? And we know who was the Talmud in the Gemara in Kuf Lamed Aleph and Shabbos who was talking to Rabbi Meir. That was the great Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. He was the one who learned in the cave with Rabbi Shimon for all of those years. So we're talking about people of the highest caliber that we couldn't even begin to fathom their greatness. And yet, somehow, we're told that they were not yored l'sov daito. Now, with this in the back of our minds, I think we can go back to our Gemara and try to have a little bit of perspective on the true greatness of Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Meir said that I don't want to ever go against my chaverim, that would be one level of greatness. But he said, in my whole life, I never entertained the possibility of going against my chaverim. Meaning that I have such respect for the majority rule, I have such respect for the other chachamim, that if, despite the fact that I argue on them, and I know, meaning you can't tell me that Rabbi Meir didn't know he was 10 times smarter than everybody else. He knew he was 10 times smarter than everybody else. So in a way, Rabbi Meir, in his own mind, knew he was right. Obviously, there isn't a Talmud Chacham, you know, certainly not from the Chachmei HaMishnah, but I would hope in any of the Chachmei HaMasorah, there's not a single Talmud Chacham who would ever say a Svara that he didn't think was Emes. But Rabbi Meir, it's not just that he thought what he held was Emes. It's that he knew he was so much smarter than everybody else. And he knew, he's like, if you guys could only see what I see, you would realize what I know to be true, and you would just come over to my side. It must have been incredibly frustrating for him to be on a level where others thought that he was wrong simply because he was so many steps ahead of everybody else. Now, it doesn't mean he was always right. Again, there are plenty of geniuses in the world that not everything they say is correct. And sometimes it's because they're so brilliant that not everything that they say is correct. One of my rebbeim, he didn't say this to me, but he said this to a close friend of mine. He said we were in a certain yeshiva, and a number of the rebbeim in the yeshiva are just real Torah giants. And he commented, he said, this rebbe, although he is quite a Talmud Chacham, he said this Rebbe and that Rebbe, they're actual geniuses. And he said, they're always, whenever I'm thinking of, they're already 10 steps ahead of me. He says, but happens to be, sometimes I get lucky, and because I'm so much slower than they are, and so much, you know, it takes me so much longer and to be more meticulous and to chop what they chop in 2 seconds, sometimes I can find more emes dika points that they miss out on due to their superior genius. So it happens to me. It doesn't mean Rabbi Meir was always right. But in his mind, it must have been so incredibly frustrating that no one could be yored l'sof daito. That if you would just understand me for a second, then you would realize what I'm trying to say and why I'm right. And he sort of just had to throw up his hands and realize that he was always outvoted, which it must have been a very frustrating experience to live it in such a way. And Afal Pikein, the greatness of Rabbi Meir was b'makom shatamotzi gedulaso shama tamotzi anvesanuso, as Rabbi Yochanan says about the Ribono Shalom himself, that where you see his greatness, that is gufa, where you see his humility. You see the fact that he was willing to be kofei his das in front of the das of his chaverim, ad kedei kach, that he said, not only do I not go like myself, I don't paskin like myself against my chaverim, even though I'm on record as disagreeing with them, I never had a hava mina. In my life, it never entered my mind to go against the words of my chaverim. These great gedolei Torah, you think I'm going to go against them? They're the rov. They're the one. They don't agree with me. I think I'm right. And not only do I think I'm right, I think the reason that I'm right is because they just push it, don't understand what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's not how Torah works. Torah works yachid v'rab malacha k'rabim, and it never occurred to me to go against the shita of my chaverim. When I saw that line in the Gemara, I was just blown away by the humility. It happens to be, I don't know too many geniuses. I haven't met that many people in my life, but I imagine if someone would be a genius, to be humble is not something which would come naturally on any way, shape, or form. But in the tradition of the greatest of all, Talmidei Chachamim, the Adon HaNaviim, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Meir understood that being a genius does not preclude being an anav, and not only that, but it necessitates a greater level of anav. It makes you have to be even more humble because of the fact that you can get carried away with your brilliance and really just run away with your own shittas and just get to the point where you think everybody else is wrong about everything. So Rabbi Meir kept it, not only did he keep it in check, and he remained humble, but he remained humble ad kedei kach, that in front of his own Talmidim, and not only that, but the case in Shabbos is when he was in pain, and at the expense of his own comfort, he was never willing to go against the words of his chaverim.